There is so much excess on display here. And there are so many of us who have like bought into this thing, quite literally with our money. And I include myself in this, that just like don't have enough excess. And yet we are spending money and time and energy on this thing. And yeah, again, every night when I was going back to my hotel, this is what I was reflecting on. Like, what are we doing? And what does this even show to the outside world, in and outside coffee, those who aren't here, those who have nothing to do with coffee, but are our friends and family and other colleagues who follow us on Instagram? Like, what are we showing them all that this industry is about?
This episode is proudly brought to you by Mapper Forward's workshop, It's Time to Become a Coffee Consultant. Learn how to diversify your revenue streams and create freedom from your day job while saying goodbye to that alarm clock forever by becoming a consultant within the coffee industry or directly to consumers who have shifted towards home brewing and home roasting. Protect your income from challenging times in the coffee value chain by taking this course today. Go to mapperforward.coffee/workshops or click the link in the show notes for details. Welcome to the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward, friends. I'm your host, Lee Safar, and this is episode one of a brand new series, a very, very exciting series. I am here with returning guest. I don't know how many times it's been. Four times, five times on the podcast?
Three. I think this is the third.
Third time on the podcast. I'm here with Madeline Longoria Garcia from PCR in Hawaii. Madeline, welcome back, my friend.
Thank you. Always good to have these conversations with you.
We're going to stir some shit up. Folks, just a warning. So this series is coming off the back of Madeline being at Expo in Chicago. And Madeline was there. I was not there. And Madeline is somebody who I trust, somebody who I respect deeply, somebody who I love the way that Madeline thinks. Madeline challenges me. Madeline is values driven. And when I saw Madeline come out of Expo, I had to talk to her about what her experience was like. And so a lot of that was about like, hey, what are the conversations that people are having at the moment? And while we're doing that, I kind of thought, well, you know, not only do we need to know what the conversations are at Expo, I want to do a series about what the conversations should be being had at the moment. Mm-hmm. And so in this series, Madeline, we are going to talk about the conversations that should be being had right now in coffee. And in this episode, we're going to talk about the benefits of trade shows, and we're going to, you know, use that as kind of SCA Expo as the framework for that in this conversation. But the next four episodes, folks, we're going to be talking about some of the things that you should be having conversations about. You don't need to agree with us or disagree with us or anything, but these are the things that our industry should be talking about. Because I know that this is going to come as a surprise to so many people, but our industry is in crisis. And you know what? I think you would be right for having no idea about that if you had have seen the 17 plus thousand people that went to Expo, right? Mm-hmm. So Madeline, tell us what your experience at Expo was.
How do I sum this up? So, you know, I was there on behalf of Hawaii Coffee. Mm-hmm. That's why I went. As you know, I spoke about earlier, Lee, off air, is I didn't even really want to go to Expo.
Mm-hmm.
Want to.
How many times have you been?
Like 7 or 8 times, I think. Mm-hmm. I've been to Expo.
How long have you been in the industry?
Almost 15 years.
Right.
Yeah.
In many countries around the world. right? Like yeah,
your countries, yeah. Worked in a few different countries and have done a lot of different things in coffee. So I was there on behalf of Hawaii Coffee. Mm-hmm. I am on the board of an organization that works to, explore new markets for not just Hawaii coffee, but Hawaii agricultural products in general.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the roles that I serve there, is to be at this expo, to help organize the booths there, to present really amazing coffees from Hawaii to people. And that was what my main role was there this year. Of course, you go to expo, you've been in this industry long enough, you've been going to expo long enough, you know so many people there, you try to make plans to meet up with people, to go to different events. And I did all of that. And whether they were kind of educational focused events, that was one different subset of people and information, or just kind of like one-on-one dinners with folks. And then all of these big parties that happen at Expo too. And this was the first year, and I don't really know why it took this long, but this is the first year that almost every single party I went to, I was looking around the room and it was just like, the companies who are hosting this party spent so much money on this party. And whether it was an open bar or you got a couple of pre-drink tickets, there was live music, DJs, people, staff with food that they're passing around to everybody at these parties, all of this shit happening. Every single party I went to, I at one point or another had that moment of just like looking around. And in another lifetime, I did events organization.
Mm-hmm.
This is a long time ago in a very different sphere. But I'm just like, this must have cost like a couple $100,000 to put on, mm-hmm. if not more.
Mm-hmm.
And every night, that's what I was going back to my hotel with. Was this like, what? How are we doing this? And by the end of the weekend, if anybody saw, my like Instagram story, I was exhausted physically, but also just like exhausted with looking around and being like, there is so much excess on display here. And there are so many of us who have like bought into this thing, quite literally with our money. And I include myself in this, that just like don't have enough access. And yet we are spending money and time and energy on this thing. And yet again, every night when I was going back to my hotel, this is what I was reflecting on. Like, what are we doing? And what does this even show to the outside world, in and outside coffee, those who aren't here, those who have nothing to do with coffee, but are our friends and family and other colleagues who follow us on Instagram? Like, what are we showing them all that this industry is about by posting online?
Did you post those stories onto your highlights reel?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody should go and see that highlights reel. And we'll include a link to Madeline's Instagram in the show notes and the description. And the reason I say that is because it was that, after seeing so many other people say the same thing as what you were saying, like that's the thing that was the weird thing for me. So many people left Expo saying the same thing. What are we doing? We had an amazing time. This was so great.
Mm-hmm.
You put mm-hmm. it really well in your stories. You're like, this was a really fun, expensive reunion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so everybody was saying, we had an amazing time and it was really great to catch up with people, but we didn't fix anything.
Yeah.
This was not about the producer at all. And I saw that your stories and I'm like, we got to have this conversation on the podcast because this was some serious truth from an industry veteran that needed to be told. Now I want to tell you what it was like for somebody experiencing Expo while not being there.
Yeah.
Because I had a lot of people say to me, I am suffering some serious FOMO.
I had people in my DMs saying the same thing.
Really?
Oh, so much FOMO. FOMO. I mean, when I posted the video of like that list of all of the side events happening,
right?
And I was like, if you want to know how many like side events are happening this weekend, it's just like this insane list. After that story post, people were like, shit, I'm so sorry. I like so bummed I'm not there. Serious FOMO. And people were like, oh my God, even if I was there, I would feel FOMO for missing out on all of these other events. So it's like,
It, and bear in mind, like a couple months ago, like we had World of Coffee here and, you know, we threw a party and we did a whole bunch of stuff. So, you know, it was a private invitation, like all the whole stuff. So I'm aware of what it costs to do something like that. I pay for that stuff out of my own pocket. I'm like, it's a lot of money. And I was watching what was going on at Expo and we posted, like the moment it turned sour for me was when a shout out to Bram de Hoog. Bram had been sent a picture of a golden espresso machine, 24 karat gold espresso machine by a producer. And the producer had said something to him, which was something like, it's embarrassing to, like, now we know what our value is. The coffee industry is telling us what our value is as a producer. It was something like that. I'm clearly paraphrasing. So Bram sent it to me, knowing that I have a big mouth and I won't tolerate this bullshit. I posted it and I was ashamed of our industry.
Yeah.
I was ashamed for many, many reasons. And I knew that this was like one of many different things that was happening. And truth be told, I had not heard of that brand before, Mavam. Right? Like there's a lot of brands in the industry.
There's a lot.
And I've been focusing on like the business side of the industry. I have been working in cafes for about 5 years, 7 years, sorry. So, you know, I'm a little out of the loop on that. And whenever I've got a consulting client that needs someone to help them with equipment, I refer them to another consultant or I bring another consultant in on the job. I don't need to know about that stuff now.
Yeah.
What I do see is that the reality of what we've been talking about on this podcast, which is that the power dynamic is skewed against the ends of the supply chain, the producer and the cafe owner. And I was watching all of the like the dopamine that was coming out of Expo. And it felt like I was watching people, kids in a sugar factory.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but hey, that's none of my business, right? But the moment it became something that I was really intrigued by was when you all left and you all started saying, I don't feel like this was like, something about what we just did was wrong.
Yeah.
And that was echoed everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. Let me correct that. That was echoed everywhere by people I respect in the industry. And that was a real telltale kind of like, oh, I think we're experiencing a moment in our industry that something has shifted.
Yeah.
What do you think that is?
I think a lot of us have been talking about these same crises in the coffee industry for years, and the same problem. And you know, I look at the workshops and the lectures and all of these things that are at Expo, and I'm like, this is the same topic with a different name that has been brought up over and over again. And I think those of us who have A, been in the industry long enough, and B, gone to enough expos, and we see these things coming up over and over again, the conversations are happening, but nobody's actually doing anything. And that's what I'm like. Yeah, we need to still be talking about things, but we also need people to fucking act on these things and change it. And it can't just be us as like our little micro roastery. This is how we're going to do direct trade, or us as this like, you know, smaller exporter or importer. This is how we're going to like make better business or roast, you know, all of these things. Like, we need action from the big guys, and the big guys are not to take action. And for some reason, those big guys are also the ones who are leading a lot of these conversations. And involved in projects and organizations within the coffee industry that have these really big, big mission and value-driven mission statements.
That mean fucking nothing.
Exactly.
I said because that so you wouldn't have to.
Thank you.
They can come at me. I don't want them coming at you. Let them come.
But it's just like, look at the people who are involved in the companies who they work for, the companies that they own, and what are they actually doing that aligns with that mission statement? Oh, nothing. It's just all talk and conversation again. And so I think people are starting to have that realization. And I think it's only a certain subset of the industry that is having that realization. Because at the same time, what I'm seeing from newer people in coffee, whether they're younger people who are just starting out, or, you know, people who had a whole different career before and are entering this industry, they are leaving Expo with that same excitement that I had my first several years at Expo. And this is what I'm curious to see play out, is like, is something, are we actually going to do something about this? Is this going to be a shift? Is this like the catalyst for people to actually take action and do something? Or is this a sign of the cyclical nature of our industry, where the people who have been in it for a long time, we start to realize these things, we start to kind of have our own internal conflict and debates with ourselves and with other people? And because where I'm at is I'm exhausted of this industry. I'm just like, again, observe from an observational standpoint of like, these same conversations have been happening for years, and we're in the same position. And it's exhausting to feel like I'm trying to do something different. This company's trying to do something different. That person's trying to do something different, but it's a fucking uphill battle. And nothing changes, because the impact of us as individuals is so, is outweighed by the impact of larger companies and larger entities. And so I wonder if this is if it's a cyclical thing, that the people who see this, the people who have these realizations and start to be a little disillusioned by the industry, you know, if we are exhausted and decide, I just can't do this anymore. And now it's this new cycle of the new people who are stoked and excited and inspired and ready to come to Expo again next year and can't wait. Maybe give it 10, 15 more years and they'll be there, but then there's going to be a whole new generation of people again. Like, is this what happens? I don't know. This is my first time being, I think, in this specific mindset with coffee, in this time of coffee. And I don't know. I don't know what will happen.
I watched those bright-eyed, bushy-tailed new goers saying Expo's the best thing ever. And like, I understand the irony of what I'm saying, having been someone who's been to many expos. I'm about to go to Busan. I'll be going to Copenhagen. I am aware of the irony of what I'm about to say, right? Mm-hmm. The thing that made me very, very nervous is that a lot of the new people that were going on a fact-finding mission to figure out whether they should open businesses in coffee.
Yeah.
Is this a viable industry? Is this a healthy industry? They're going to look at equipment. They're going to speak to people.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in an environment, it's like walking into a casino and being a gambling addict. It primes you with every signal that you need where you no longer are making good decisions. You are in an environment at Expo that is sending you the wrong signals. Our industry is in crisis. And I don't know how many other ways to tell people that we have one last ditch effort. The fucking sea market needs to go higher than it is. And mm-hmm. if we can get the sea market higher than it is, then those folks at Origin who are basing everything that they're doing on the sea market and everything that they get paid is based on the sea market, they may finally start to get paid above the cost of production. And this may be the last way that they get to save their farms. But that doesn't work for the producer. No, sorry, for the roaster. Mm-hmm. That doesn't work for the cafe owner. And it certainly doesn't fucking work for the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens next is that all of these people who have been there go and open these cafes and they open these roasteries and they keep trying to push the sea market down. They keep waiting and they keep buying cheaper coffee. Well, folks, guess what happens when we drive the sea market down? What that means is that these producers who have these loans that they can no longer repay decide to close their farms or they decide to stop growing coffee, which reduces the supply of coffee. When we have less supply and the same demand, the price of coffee is going up anyway. And now it's going up way more than what it was going up before. Because now it's intrinsically connected to supply and demand economics.
Yeah.
And those producers are never coming back. And even if they do, it's 3 years before those trees, if they planted them that day.
Yeah.
And so when the price of coffee goes back up again, you haven't done the work that's necessary to help your customer understand that this is what the new price of coffee is. So guess what they're going to do? They're going to drink tea.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're going to drink less coffee. And your business is fucking going out of business anyway.
The other thing that I do also see, especially for growers, farmers who decide this is it, I'm done. I'm moving, especially with the younger generation coming into it. I'm moving to the city. I'm selling this off. I'm done.
Yep.
Now a big multinational is going to come and purchase land. And what are they going to do with that? It's either going to be development
mm-hmm.
or
property, hotels.
You know, property, hotels, high rises, whatever. Or you see, and what has already been happening in coffee for a long time is consolidation of farmland by a massive company that then controls that market because now they own the land, they hire all of the people to do the work,
mm-hmm.
they decide what they're paying all of those people, they decide all of their inputs, all of these things, and they decide to their end customer who's buying that green coffee for them or that roasted coffee for them.
Mm-hmm.
This is the price and that's it. And the more we see that happen, that scares me.
Which results in the same thing, right? The price of coffee is going up. The better one is the big corporates that are buying that land just so that they can secure their own supply chain.
Exactly. And that's what's happening. So they can secure their own supply chain. They have complete control over everything. And it's, I mean, but these massive corporations are already have already been doing this, and they're doing it, and it's going to continue happening. And I think it's going to be easier for them the more and more that we see farmers decide this isn't worth it economically for me anymore. And coffee might not go away, but it's going to look extremely different. And it's just consolidation in any industry isn't really benefiting anybody except for the people who have that power.
And let me tell you, folks, I get privy to conversations that happen, you can imagine. Like, people call this podcast the Joe Rogan of coffee. So when other people hear this podcast being called the Joe Rogan of coffee, they decide to call me up and tell me stories of things that are happening to them. And folks, I can tell you, don't get me started on coffee competitions and the damage that they're doing to this industry. But I can tell you, the people that you're worshipping who are world champions are amongst the first people that are saying to coffee producers, we can't afford to pay the prices that you're charging for your green coffee. We need to pay less. While also going on social media and pimping out their new product or their new film, or they're pimping out their new, the next competition that they're going to be partaking in. Or what's worse, turning around and telling you, we're all about the producer. We're here for the producer. The level of irony that exists is vomit worthy. But when I saw that 24 karat gold espresso machine, the reason my heart sank was because I could see that there were people that had gone on a discovery mission into Expo to figure out the state of this industry. And they're going to see a 24 karat gold espresso machine and a Barbie espresso machine and all of this fucking opulence that's going on. And they're going to say, this is a healthy industry. And it's not. We're legitimately in crisis, folks. And the, you know, people, there are people on the board of the SCA that have said to me, you know, Lee, it's not as bad as what you're saying. It's not that big a problem. What fucking world are you living in where you're saying it's not that problem? It's not that big a problem.
They're only talking to a very specific sector of the industry, right? I mean, look at anybody who's, look at Central America. People want to talk about immigration problems in the United States and in Mexico. Mexico has a massive immigration problem too, from Central America, from South America. It's farmland.
And people are risking their lives, the option to die while walking to America, rather than staying on their land. Just sit with that for a second. That option is better than growing coffee. I don't know what we're doing. I don't understand why there was no pedestal for producers to be telling us what they need at Expo.
And this, that was one of my other big things that I was like, okay, there are producers here. I see them, but where is their platform?
Are they, were they leading any of the talks that you went to?
I didn't really go to very many talks, but I went to one and they were involved in that, I went to one workshop, they were involved in it. They talked about their stories. They talked about their struggles and where they're currently at and what needs to continue happening. But there were 20 of us in that room.
Right.
You know, where is the platform for them to be speaking in front of all of Expo?
Right. And at RICO or something like that.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't know. And then you look at the workshops themselves too, and you've spent $250 to attend a different workshop outside, you know, instead of just being on the show floor.
Right.
And so it's like, okay, then who are those people who have access to that also, to those conversations? And yeah, I don't know. There are a lot of things that I've just learned over the years about this show, about the industry, that it's like, what are we? Yeah, again, I keep asking this question of like, what are we doing and what are we actually communicating that are, what are the values that we have that we're communicating with people? Because from an outside perspective, this year, the values that I see are being communicated is we want to be the hype. We want to encourage that hyping up of each other and being the hype. And we want to be flashy. We want to make a splash. And we want to show off how, quote unquote, cool this industry is. I don't know. I just, like, for a while, I cared about trying to be a cool person in coffee.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And then it was just like, I don't actually care anymore. I don't actually care, you know? And there are the people who I know in this industry who I love, who know me, who, like, I have really good connections with. And there are people who have no idea who the fuck I am because I don't really try to make a big show of who I am. So I just don't care anymore.
They're not on this podcast and you are. Just saying. Just saying.
But it's just, well, yes. And this is not because I'm trying to get your attention, Lee.
No.
You know.
Yep.
We met through a random coffee event that was your event.
Yeah.
In Australia. That I just happened to be told about by somebody, a mutual friend, who was like, hey, this is a cool thing. You might want to come taste these coffees and see what it's all about.
That was Elixir was just being born. We hadn't even launched the business yet.
Yeah. I didn't even know what this thing was. Like, what
nobody
am I gonna
did.
Drink?
I fucking
you know, and it was, yeah, yeah. But it was just like, that's how we met. You didn't seek me out. This is how I meet. No, this is how I meet most of the people I know in coffee. Like, I'm not seeking people out. Yeah. I'm not trying to get in with a crowd, you know. I'm not trying to, I don't know how to do that.
Right.
And I've tried, I remember some interactions where I try to go up and introduce myself to somebody. I'm like, hey, my name's Madeline. I've seen some of the stuff you do. It's pretty cool. And then we have nothing to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, okay, I actually don't connect with this person who is like the hype, you know, but this is what our industry does. We put people on a pedestal because they're really good at marketing themselves and whatever they're selling, you know, and it's fun. It's fun to interact with those people.
Yeah,
it's fun to watch their videos and listen to them and read what they're talking about. And it's fun. And we want that because the other people, the other conversations that actually need to happen are not fun. They're really fucking hard. They're really exhausting. And we'd rather just not. And this is what I think this show specifically has been communicating to the outside world. And I mean, within and outside of Expo specifically, it's like, we value the fun.
And we do. It's coffee. It should be fun. But the trick worked, right? The trick of convincing people that everything is fine. It worked. So much so, like, I can't believe the number of people. I was fucking shocked by the number of people that contacted me before Expo and said, "You're going to be in Chicago? You're going to be in Chicago?" And I'm like, "No." And then the number of people that contacted me afterwards and said, "Why didn't you come to Expo? It was a wonderful time." And I'm like, and I know, and I'm so fucking glad that everyone got to have a good time. It looked like so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I have trained myself not to experience FOMO. And I knew ahead of time that the only reason I needed to be there was for a reunion.
Mm-hmm.
I have no business to be doing at Expo this year.
Yeah.
I have a fuck ton of business to do in Busan and in Copenhagen.
Yeah. There's a purpose for being there.
There's
just
a
to
purpose
like
for being
go
there.
Go to parties. Yeah, have reunions.
And folks,
that's why, you know, that's why I sell this year. But I knew I had to go there because of, again,
you had a job to
the
do.
Role that I play.
Right.
I had a job to do. On that level, I needed to be there. On a personal level, in my own personal professional journey, I didn't need to be there.
And the part that really makes me more nervous than anything. So there's two things that made me the most nervous about what I saw. And before I say that, I want to say I am so happy that the majority of people that went there got high on the sugar of it. I think it's awesome. These events are so much fun and they're fantastic. But the two things that got me nervous is that we are in crisis and the producer isn't being seen. And mm-hmm. the second thing is the fact that we created this industry event that has groomed the next generation of small business owners, whether it be on the producing end or on the consuming end. Because I know that there are producers that went there and saw all of that and thought the industry's healthy. We have just tricked a whole nother new generation of business owners to believe that opening a coffee business is profitable.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are listening to this and you don't know whether running a cafe or a roastery is profitable, tune into the next episode. Peace, love, and peanut butter, folks. Have an amazing rest of your day. I really hope you enjoyed this episode, friends. Please don't forget to show us some love by subscribing, liking, commenting, and most of all, sharing this podcast with your friends. Check the show notes for links, including our sponsors and our Patreon. And stay tuned for more great conversations on The Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward.